Well, good morning, everyone. As you join, glad you're able to join us this morning in time of worship. There are many that are here, and obviously many that will join us over the internet, and we're just thankful for this opportunity to worship. I want to share a few prayer requests with you before we get started, as many of you who are in Sunday school already heard. We want to remember Joyce Tripp in prayer. She was at the hospital earlier this morning. John called me. She was having some issues with vertigo, so remember to pray for them. Also want to pray for Lout and Cornethia. Cornethia is going to be having a kidney transplant, and Lout is the donor. And that'll be, I think, a little bit later this week, so I want to pray for them as they go through that. And many of you know Cornethia has had a lot of issues with her kidney, so we're praying for them as they go through that. And also, I was told we have a gentleman named Charlie Kennedy, who was in a nursing facility, was in a hospital, now being transferred to a nursing facility in the area. So I want to pray for him. He was there and going to have some help and obviously recovery with that. So let's just enter for a time of prayer with the Lord, and then we'll continue in our service. So join me. Father, we just thank you for how your Holy Spirit ministers to us. We lift up our brothers and sisters who are struggling with illnesses in need of your care. We just pray that your Holy Spirit ministers in each and every situation as you are able, and bring healing, bring strength, bring encouragement and faith in the midst of that, Father. We are thankful for how you minister to us, and as you bless this time as we worship, I pray our hearts and minds would be renewed and would be fully focused on who you are and what you desire. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. So let's all stand and then just look over and say hello. Just wave.
Hello.
Hello, 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 hello. So we're going to begin with sing, sing, sing. So if you feel comfortable singing, then sing. If not, listen.
Shout your praise, lift high the world behind. No turning back. Raise a banner high. It's God for me. It's all for you. Let the heavens shake and split the sky. Let the people clap their hands and cry. It's God for me. It's all for you. To us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Our hearts unfold before your throne, the only place for those who know. It's not for us, it's all for you. Send your holy fire on this offering. Let our worship burn for the world to see. It's not for us, it's all for you.
All for you.
Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. It's all for you. The waves are crashing, the sun is raging. It's all for you. The universe is spinning and singing. It's all for you. The children dancing, dancing, dancing. It's all for you. It's all for you. Not to us, but to your name.
God of Wonders, it kind of makes you think of the world, the galaxy, and everything. And I think just recently we were watching a show or something about the galaxy, and it kind of made me think how amazing it's just total, the universe is endless, and how God made every single star, galaxy, planet, and then Earth. And then you kind of look at, now that it's beautiful out, you can see all the flowers, and how, just looking at it in depth of how majestic everything is, and how everything, he knows everything, and how he made everything. So with God of Wonders, just this week, just kind of think about all God's beauty in everything you see, and it's just amazing.
Heavens are your tabernacle.
out there. We're grateful you're with us today. If you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Psalm chapter 8. Give you a chance to find that. Psalm 8, looking at some verses. And the name of God we're going to look at today is the name Adonai, which is simply means Lord. Or master. And that name is about 400 times in the scriptures. And we're going to look at one of the texts where that is available, Psalm 8, to kind of help us walk through that. And it's a very powerful name of God. It speaks to his position, his title, who he is. And we'll just take some time to kind of dive into it through this psalm. There's a lot here. As always, when I preach dealing with issues like this in the Word of God, I'm going to only just kind of skim the surface for you. You're not going to have the opportunity to really dive into it. I'd encourage you maybe to spend some time later this week in Psalm 8 yourself and just kind of walk through that, maybe find you a good commentary. There are all kinds of them online that you can find that will be helpful in that process to kind of really see what that means. Because I think of titles, I don't know how you were raised. When I was raised growing up, you address people in a certain way. My mother is from Texas, and so it was sir and ma'am to everybody. You know, I don't know how it is for you. That's the way it was when I was raised, and that's kind of, I always fall into that. My dad's an old Navy guy, and so sir was the term he used. So whether I knew a person or not, I would say sir or ma'am to what they were. And if I knew their last name, I was forbidden to use an adult's first name. Does anybody remember that? Okay, a few of you, yes. It was not allowed, you know. And I can remember a family that we're very close to. I mean, they were really good friends of my parents, and we were over at their house a lot. And I know their names, Charles and Francis, but I was never allowed to call them that. They were Mr. and Mrs. Butler. And I once slipped and called them by their first name. Oh, man, did I get in trouble. But anyway, we'll leave that alone. Let's go ahead, if you would, and we'll just kind of read God's Word together. Psalm 8, and it says in verse 1, it says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have displayed your splendor above the heavens. From the mouth of infants and nursing babes, you have established strength because of your adversaries to make the enemy and the revengeful cease. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you take thought of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. You make him rule over the works of your hands, and you have put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven and the fish of the sea, whatever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the testimony of the psalmist David as he shares this with us today. And his understanding of the majesty and the beauty and the power of the Lord is what we will focus on. And we're grateful that you would reach out to us. And I pray, Lord God, you will use this time in some way to speak to us, to remind us of who you are and what you are designed to do in and through our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So as I think about this name and this text that we're going to look at this morning and the idea of titles and the idea of who God is, that he is our Lord, he is our master, it reminds me a lot of things in my own life where you have to learn, as I said earlier, you relate to people with titles. You know, that's how we learn to relate to people. Whether you're working, you call your boss a certain thing, or whether you're, you know, you remember even in school together, you were allowed to call your teacher Mr. or Mrs., whatever their last name was, and you were to address them with respect. It doesn't always happen. And I remember going to college that I had to start using a new title. I had to address them as Dr. such and such, whatever, because everybody had their PhDs or whatever. And, you know, you learn that. And one of the things I think about the title that we're going to look at this morning is that word Adonai. That word means Lord. It means master. And the idea of that is not just simply, you know, and we think of it, you know, maybe in some ways it's just master with like boss. It's bigger than that. It's Lord. It's the one who is overarching over all. He is the supreme leader of all that is. He is the creator of all that is. He is the one who possesses all power and authority. And so when I call him Adonai, when I call him Lord, it's surrendering and understanding that he is above, beyond me in ways that I can't fully fathom. And yet, because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his kindness, he chooses to come near to someone like me and to someone like you. He makes himself available to us. But Jesus is always, remember, Jesus is not our friend in the sense that he is our homeboy and our buddy, okay? Terms that none of you probably even know what I'm talking about there. But he is Lord and Master, and yet he chooses to be close to us. There is always that separation, always that understanding of who he is, that he is different than I will ever be. I will never be fully like him. It's impossible because he is God. He is divine. He is the one and only. But I am going to seek to emulate his character and allow the character of Christ to transfer through the Holy Spirit's work in me so that I begin to flesh out some of the characteristics of my Master and my Lord, that I might demonstrate to others who he is and the love that he has for me. And David, as he's walking through this text, trying to help us understand who this God that he worships is, he says some things about him that we sung about this morning. I think Tim did a great job walking through the Bible study lesson, the Sunday school lesson that we had early. Encourage you, if you haven't joined us yet early for that time, I'd encourage you to join us at 9:45 for that time that we have each week here in the sanctuary. It's a little different than the format we're used to in Sunday school, but I think you'll find great teaching and truth from that. So I want to encourage you to be a part of that as well as the time that we have together. It spoke to us about understanding who's in control, who's in charge. And really, when you say someone and you say that God is Lord, that's what you're saying. God, you are Lord, you are Master. There are things you know that I do not know. There are things you will do that I will not fully understand, but I trust you. And I defer my responsibility to be in control of everything to you because you are in control of everything. And at the heart of it, that's really the heart of what it means to be a follower of Christ. That's really the focus of what it means to be his child, is that we begin to understand we are not in control. Anybody feel a little out of control in the world today? Oh my, don't we all? We got people telling us where we can stand, how close. They even got the little signs in the grocery store, you know, to have the distance, you know, whether you can wear a mask or not, and all these different things about us that we're experiencing in our culture today are reminding us of how little control we truly have. But the good news is, brothers and sisters and friends, there is one who is infinitely in control above all governing authorities and all rulers that we see in this world, and that is the King of Glory. That is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the one to whom David is speaking here. He is Lord. He is sovereign. He is in charge. I'm excited about that. I don't know if that, does that encourage you in any way? I hope it does. As you face all that you face in this world, as you face the uncertainty and you face the challenges, realize God knows, God understands, and he is with you in the middle of that, and he is in control. And he will accomplish his will, his purposes through all this time, whatever that looks like for us, regardless of what others may say or think. God will accomplish his purposes. And the Lord God of heaven, the one whom David describes, as he tries to describe, and I wonder, way back in the day, for some of us that are a little older than some of the younger folks that are here and are watching, there was a song that was, you know, music is really funny, isn't it? Songs that were really modern many years ago are rather dated today, aren't they? You know, the music, the singing. There was a song that came out back in, I believe it was in the 80s, so that was before many of you that are in this room were born, and I understand that. And some of you don't remember it because you were too small to remember, but there was a song that a young lady named Sandy Patty did called, O Lord, How Majestic Is Your Name. I want to know, does anybody remember that song besides me? Okay, good. A few of us remember it. It's looking at it now, it's rather campy. Is that fair? It's kind of, you know, weird. But I mean, the message of it is very true and powerful because it comes from this psalm. That's where she got it. She will tell you, got it from Psalm 8, the writer of this song, it came out of that. But I think of that a lot of times that when we first heard it, you know, way back in the dark ages, it meant a lot to us. It really encouraged because it was different than the way we'd heard that expressed before. And I think of the song we just sang a few moments ago, God of Wonders. And of course, I don't know if you're not a Third Day fan, I will pray for you. I'm sorry. I love Third Day. One of my favorite, they are probably one of my most favorite bands that's been out there for a long time. But that song that they wrote is kind of a reminder of this psalm again and the beauty of who God is. And beginning to imagine and examine and look around us and see what God has done. You know, I don't know if you've noticed, but the skies seem a little clearer these days. Anybody else notice that? You can look in the night sometimes and seems like you can see a few more stars than we used to see. I don't know if it's because of the lack of airplane travel and all. I don't know. I'm not a scientist or pretend to be one. But I know that it seems clear and you can see things you couldn't see before. And as I look out and I'm looking up at the heavens and the knowing a little bit about what that looks like and where that is. And, you know, I was a very novice, you know, science kid growing up and astronomy and all that kind of, love that stuff, you know, but trying to understand that, that all of that, and all of that works with an incredible created order that is all just is moves with almost a synchronicity, a sympathy, a symphony. It's almost like a symphony for our eyes, the way everything just moves together in complete harmony. That's the word I was looking for. All of that out there, and it's things that we just see and things, places we will never go. It's beyond us. Some of them millions of light years away. Now you realize how far away that is, don't you? That's a long way. Can we agree to that? That's farther than we will ever go. None of us will go. I mean, most of us in this room, but we'll never go to the moon. I guess since they're not taking flights, unless they start that someday, I don't know. I don't expect them to, but. And this is significantly farther than the moon, and we see these things, and yet they are all there, and God has ordered them and placed them where they need to be, in constant motion, moving around. And the universe has all that order in it. And then you look at your own body, and you imagine and think, a lot of times you don't want to look inside it, because that'd be kind of gross, right? But you know the way that you are made. You are intricately designed, that the systems in your body work a certain way, and they work together. And I don't begin to understand it. I know that a lot of folks in the medical field understand it far better than I ever will. And that's great. And they can tell you when, you know, something's not working here, that it's a symptom of something that's, you know, wrong here, right? And those of you that are in that field know what I'm talking about. And that's kind of the way that, but the body works that way because it's designed to work that way. And this creator that we're talking about here, this one, this Adonai, this Lord that we worship, has put all that together, the scripture tells us here. He has ordained it. He has orchestrated it. He is in charge and seeks to do all that he has done for his purposes to accomplish whatever he desires. And we appreciate that, but sometimes we struggle with that because one of the struggles that we have as human beings, and one of the reasons why I think this time that we're experiencing in our culture and our world has been very difficult for many of us, is because we really like being in control, don't we? Just Joe and I, okay. The rest of us, okay. Many of us, if we didn't say that, we know we are lying because we love being in control, don't we? We like to be in charge. We like to know what's going on. We like to make sure things work a certain way, the way that we know they're best, right? It's what we do. That's where all that way. We're all control freaks to differing degrees. Some people are a little worse at it than others. That's okay. That's fine. That's just the way we are. And while that's a good thing, that can also be a big problem when it comes to our relationship with God. And that was really the beginning of the problem, wasn't it, in the Garden of Eden? I mean, the serpent gave Eve and Adam a pretty good opportunity. Oh, you know why God doesn't want you to eat of that fruit, right? We've talked about this many times. You know that story. You've read it thousands of times probably. But if you eat of it, you know there were two trees in the garden that were special, and were sitting very close to each other, as I understand and reading in the text of Genesis what it was. There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That was the only tree they were told not to eat of. Out of everything there was in the garden. And they probably had banana trees and mango trees and all kinds of other trees, apple trees. You just imagine all these different, because I don't think it was an apple. That's what people, that's not what it was, whatever, because we eat apples, right? Whatever that tree was, but all these, anything you wanted, and there's just this one tree, don't eat of it. Okay. I don't know if it didn't have a fence around it, it was just there. You knew you didn't eat of it. That was a command. That was the only command. One command. Did we get this? Just one. And evidently, it must have been an attractive tree or something, because Eve's hanging out at the tree. Why is she hanging out near the only tree she's not supposed to eat from? I don't know. Not going to go into that, but think about that for a minute. That's because that's kind of what we do, don't we? How many of you remember when you were a teenager? I'm going to talk to the ones that are older. Those that are teenagers, you might know this. You're not going to agree with me, but that's okay. But I remember when I was a teenager, whatever my parents told me not to do, right? That's kind of where let's see how close we can get to that and not do it, right? It was kind of like a game we would play. We would get as close to the temptation as possible, and so we could pull back at the last minute. But eventually, if we kept doing that, eventually long enough, it got us, didn't it? And it may not have been something all that awful or all that bad, but it was something that we knew not to do. And that was true in the garden. So I don't know how Eve was doing, if she was kind of getting really close, whatever, but she was close enough that she could hear the serpent's voice. And the serpent wasn't a snake slithering up in the trees, as the scriptures say. It was some sort of reptilian thing, but it had arms and had legs. Well, it could move, and it could speak. Now, we know that it was Satan speaking through the serpent, and he tempted her. And he said, you know, I know God told you you could eat of every tree in the garden except this one, but he didn't really mean that. Right? Know what he said? Something like that? It's really okay, because see, what he really was trying to protect you from, if you eat of this tree, you will be like him. And you will know good from evil. And you'll be able to figure everything out. And you'll be in control. That was really the heart of that, isn't it? You'll understand all things. And we like that, don't we? We like knowledge. And we really try to... that's why we watch the things we do. We read the things we read. We want to gain all this, because if we think we gain enough knowledge, we'll figure things out. But you know what I've discovered in my life? That oftentimes the more knowledge I tend to gain, the more frustrated I become. Anybody with me on that one? Because I began to realize the more I know, the less there is, the smaller of that portion that I can actually control and have anything to do with and alter. It's good to know things. It's good to know right from wrong. It's good to know the truth. But sometimes knowing things does not help you solve the problem. Knowledge is not the answer for that pit in your soul that makes you wonder, what's missing? The only answer that any of us can have, the only hope that any of us have, it's not a propositional thing, it is God himself. He is the only one that can fill that space, that angst, that whatever it is in your spirit that causes you to wonder, what is missing in my life? It's God. And it comes through that surrender. It comes through understanding that truth of that name, Adonai, that he is Lord, that there is no one like him but him. And he is worthy of all praise and honor and respect. And he is the only one that can help us understand who we are. And as David has said here, all these things that I look at, all these things I say in verses 3 and 4, all of them, when I think of everything that's out there, everything that you've done, God, and then I look at me, why would you care about me? How do I fit into all this apart? Why would, you know, with all the things, can you imagine what's on God's to-do list every day? A lot more than anything's on our to-do list. Would you agree with that? Do you think that God's got a lot more to do each day than any one of us has to do? I would hope so. He does. And yet, he has time to be with you and me as his children. He chooses to make time whenever... No matter what he's doing, this amazes me about God, no matter what he may be involved in, and I can't even imagine what God's got to deal with. If you or I, one of his children, call, how long does it take him to get there? It's instantaneous, isn't it? Boom, there he is. Right there. Yes, child? And with all that's going on and all that he has to do, he is focused on you. That still will always overwhelm and amaze me. I don't understand how he can do that, and I don't understand why he would want to do that. But he does. He chooses to do that. He desires it because of his love for you and his desire for you and the relationship that he wants to foster with us, how he wants us to grow and mature and understand of who he is. And David is overwhelmed by that. He said, all these things I've seen, all these things that I've experienced, and yet you care for us. You've made us, as he says in verse 5, a little lower than God, and you crown us with glory and majesty. You've given us a world to have dominion over. You've given us all these things and these responsibilities. You've given us such tremendous privilege and position. I don't understand it, God. I can't understand why you would choose to meet with me, but you do. Though you are Lord, though you are sovereign, though you are above and beyond all I can fully comprehend and imagine, you choose to meet with me. And he will choose to meet with you at any time when you call. Let that truth wash over you for a few moments this morning. So a lot of times we preachers, we got to get through the stuff because we got to get done, right? You know, we got to get it, and we got to get you out of here. I don't think we really let the truth fester in the Spirit enough. So I want that truth to fester in your spirit for a few moments, at least this morning, maybe even longer. That the God of the universe, the creator of all it is, the Lord God of heaven, Adonai, the one and only, the supreme, desires to be with you. Not now so much to teach you all these things and to give you propositional truth and to walk you through the Word of God, you know, that's good. But what he simply wants is for you to be in his presence, to be with him. And just maybe kind of sit and soak a little bit with him. When was the last time, don't raise hands, but think about this. When was the last time in your walk with him that you simply spent time in the presence of God, not saying a word, just listening, just sitting in his presence when you're in prayer? I encourage you to do that. The important element of prayer that many of us miss as followers of Christ, I believe, and I'm this is not me, this is from Ian Bounds, so I know it's good, okay? Dr. Bounds was infinitely more knowledgeable about prayer from personal experience, not just book knowledge. He said the thing that most believers miss is the silence and the stillness in prayer. Just being in God's presence. Now, I don't know what that looks like for you. It may not simply be sitting down. For some of you, it may be going for a walk somewhere, and you're out in the middle of creation, and you are simply listening to his Spirit. You're seeing all the different things that you see around you, experiencing all the noises, the sights, the sounds, the smells, and understanding God is the creator and order of all that and in his presence. And you're just beginning to enjoy and experience him. Because he will meet you wherever you are. Do you realize you do not just have to come to church or watch it on the screen to experience God's presence? You do know that's true, correct? You don't have to do that. I'm glad you did and you chose to be here today. But you can experience God's presence and God's work in your life wherever you are. And that's why the Scripture tells us and commands us and encourages us and implores us to be pray without ceasing, to be constantly seeking to be in God's presence at every moment of the day and allow him to speak to us. Because there's just something about being in his presence that changes us. It's not so much about all the truths that we know and all the scripture that we've memorized and all the things we think we've got figured out. Those are good, but there's something more here. I think David is getting across and understands when he talks about the Lord. And he talks about all these things he's experienced. And you can imagine being a shepherd boy, he saw a lot of these things when he was out in the fields with the sheep. And he saw many things, I'm sure, as a king and as a military leader out with his troops out before the battle, out at night as they're camping out, and all the things that he experienced and saw, and he was reminded again and again of God's goodness, God's grace, God's favor, and that God simply wanted to be with him, and he wanted to be with God. Now, I'm going to speak to some that are a little older and might remember. How many of you remember when you were courting, dating, whatever the terminology you want to use, the person that you are now spending your life with? Those of you that are married, how many remember when you were dating your spouse? You know, remember those days? I remember those days. Remember what it was like when you had conversations, whether they were, in my day it was the telephone, and they were the ones hanging on the wall with the cord, okay? That's the way it was. And we had the, till I got out of college, my mom still had the one with the, had that for, I don't know why she would never get the touchstone. She was the last person to have a touchstone, I think, in our neighborhood. That's just the way it was. She loved that phone. But anyway, I can remember many hours on the phone with the young lady sitting in this front pew up here. And then when I went away to college, which was only 2 hours away, but, you know, I was away for during the week and would come back on the weekends, I can remember, of course, in those days, you had to buy, anybody know, was it the phone cards I think we were buying? Or was I just paying minutes? I'm trying to remember how that worked. But it was expensive to make calls. It wasn't like the cell phone that I've got sitting over there where I could just pick it up and call anytime. But I remember going to a payphone to make those calls so I could talk to her for just a few minutes, because that's all you could talk. Because I just wanted to hear her voice. And, you know, I think about that. I think about the excitement of that and how that was so enthralling. You got anybody else remember a thing like that for you in your courtship or your dating time? I mean, there's just every moment, there's just not enough time in the day. And then we get married and things happen, right? And we don't get, but there's also something interesting that I've noticed as we've gotten older that I really appreciate. And I used to remember seeing my grandparents do this, and I thought, what in the world? Where they can just sit in each other's presence. Just be together, not saying a word. And people say, well, they just don't know how to talk. Yeah, they do. But sometimes there's just something about being in the presence of someone, sharing that space, that there's a communion and a fellowship and an intimacy that words cheapen. Does that make sense? And I think that's so true in our walk with God. And I'm not saying not to speak words when you pray, but sometimes don't lose sight of the opportunity you have simply to rest and to be in His presence and to just spend time at His feet and listen to Him and just be with Him. Because sometimes He may not have anything to say, He just wants you to be with Him. How many of you remember Mary and Martha in the New Testament? The two sisters, right? You remember those two? And you remember the little incident where Martha was a little upset at Mary? You remember why she was upset at Mary? You remember? Because she wasn't doing her fair share in the kitchen. Because Martha had been slaving away, working hard, getting everything ready, making sure everything was... Martha's a good person. Okay, that's great. And what was Mary doing? Mary was being lazy from Martha's perspective, wasn't she? Wasn't coming in to help. She was simply sitting at the feet of Jesus. Absorbing, being in His... I don't know how to absorb the right word. Just to be in His presence. Just to experience the presence of the Master in those moments. Whether He was teaching, just being around Him. And of course, we know how the narrative goes, and it's a short narrative in the Gospels that talks about it. And then Martha said, Jesus, tell my sister to get in here and help me. Just get her up. I know what she really wanted to say. And maybe she did say it, and the Bible's just really nice and doesn't tell us exactly what she said. Because I know how that conversation would have gone in my household growing up with my two sisters. Because I had two sisters like that, one that did everything, and one that she wasn't set at the feet of Jesus. She just wasn't doing it. But anyway, I've seen that conversation, and it wasn't as pleasant as the scriptures lay it out. And there were some words used that we will not use in this company. But anyway, as they went through that, trying to get that, what does Jesus tell Martha? Leave her alone. She has chosen the better thing. Simply sitting in His presence. Sitting in the presence of the Lord, the King of the universe, the Creator of all, our Savior, our Redeemer, the one whom we can't fully grasp and understand, just simply being in His presence is the better thing. It is the transformative thing. It is what changes us. It's what enables us to experience Him for who He is. And that's what He desires, and that's what He wants you to experience, not just at church on Sunday morning, every day of your life and whenever you call on Him. And now many of us have more time than we used to. I know some things are starting to get back to normal and work is going to start. It'll get crazy once again. Traffic's already starting that process of getting traffic, right? It's happening again. But as we have time, let us take time just to be with Him. So when you have that time, and I know we're all, many of us men especially, we're really task-oriented. We got our to-do list. We got to get our 14 things done, right? And we boom, 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 boom. That's what we get done. That's what we are. I think God's wired us that way, and we flesh that out real well. And we even do it in our Bible study. Okay, I've got to read this, this, and this, this. I got it all done. Okay, I'm done. But let me encourage you, and I've been convicted of this myself. That's why I'm sharing with you some of my own failings and suffering and misgiving. So it's okay if I talk about myself, right? Well, let me encourage you. What I've learned, God's been trying to teach me, is when you're done, you're not done. Sit. Just sit in silence and listen for the voice of the Spirit. It's one of the most powerful things in prayer that we so often miss, is listening for the voice of the Spirit. Don't read anything. Don't talk. Don't even really so much think. Just listen. It's a spiritual practice called meditation. Now, it's got some bad press over the years because people misunderstand it and misappropriate it and misuse it. But it's an important aspect of our walk with Him, simply meditating on His Word and simply just saying, okay, God, here I am. What? I just want to soak in Your presence. What can we do today? Just talk to me. And I can tell you from personal experience and from the experiences of others as well, you will hear and discover things about God and about yourself that you never would have discovered otherwise in the quiet of the moment, in the stillness. God can speak. So we're going to do something a little different this morning. It's going to be kind of hard to do for those online, but we're going to just take a moment of silence before the Lord before we enter into our time of closing and singing. And I'm going to ask you to just, wherever you are, just to close your eyes and just bask in His presence for just a few seconds. Adonai, my Lord, thank you for reaching out to us and drawing us to yourself. As King David says so clearly, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You are beyond our understanding, and yet you come to meet with us. Thank you for coming to meet with us today. Use this time. Draw us unto yourself, not just now, but throughout the days, weeks, and years we have left together. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can remain seated for this song, but with this song, Softly and Tenderly, it really speaks about the trust we have in, and trust in our, what we have in our Lord and Savior, and that He is calling us to be with Him, and to just let this be your prayer for the week.